Thanks for checking out another cast from TealTownUSA.com. In this episode, we speak with the TV voice of the San Jose Sharks, Randy Hahn, who discusses what he's seen in the preseason so far, his thoughts on Suomela and Chartier, and the return of Joe Thornton. And Randy also talks about working with Jamie Baker and Brett Hedekin, the three-man broadcast plans for this season, Devin Setoguchi joining the radio broadcast, the benefits of new LED lighting, his favorite calls, and Randy answers the question, is this the best San Jose Sharks team he's ever seen?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another interview conversation here on TealTownUSA.com. I am Eric Kura. You can always follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. With me today, it is our honor to have Randy Hahn, play-by-play voice of your San Jose Sharks. Randy, good morning. How was your summer?
The summer was great, Eric. It was obviously a little longer than all of us would prefer, but it was good to get some rest and get recharged for the season and looking forward to it starting on Wednesday.
Can't wait. Was at the game last night against Calgary. You saw pretty much the starting lineup against Calgary at home. What did you like and what needs to be kind of tweaked a little bit?
Well, I think the thing that stuck out to me more than anything was the Sharks were playing a team that obviously didn't make the playoffs last year. They have a new coach, they have some new players, and they looked to be in more of a regular season mode, the Calgary Flames did, certainly at the start of the game, than the Sharks did. They were outplaying the Sharks. The shots showed it. The scoreboard showed it. And then I thought probably after the first intermission, there may have been, you know, a little bit of a discussion in the dressing room, like, hey, we've got to kick it up here a little bit. And while the Sharks have a veteran team and everybody knows that these games don't matter, they don't count toward the standings, and in 3 weeks from now we'll forget everything that happened in that game.
Yes.
I think they started to step on the gas a little bit more. They started to push a little harder and then came to within a goal and almost got it tied up. So, you know, not a great start, but again, you know, don't look too much into these exhibition games. You can go 7-0 in the preseason, and that guarantees you absolutely nothing once the puck drops to start a season. So I think it's still a process where the new guys are getting used to one another. There's new players at the forward position. There's two players who've never played in an NHL game before. And then you've got Erik Karlsson fitting himself in. And then you've got a guy like Joe Thornton trying to get himself back to speed. So a lot of different elements going into what the Sharks are preparing for right now versus what Calgary was. And I would expect we'll see a better overall 60-minute performance on Sunday against Vegas in that last tune-up, but it still won't be like opening night.
Right, and you don't want them to get too crazy with throwing out hits and such, but do you take from preseason games, I guess you kind of have to grade it on a curve a little bit and not expect too much?
Well, I think what you're looking for more in the preseason, at least what I'm looking for from the Sharks team, I'm looking more at individuals than I'm looking at team play per se. Maybe when the power play's on the ice, you're looking more at team play right now because that's been identified as an area the Sharks really want to improve upon, and they ought to now with Karlsson on the power play. So I'm looking more at how is Antti Suomela fitting in? Is he going to be solid enough to be an NHL third-line center? Who's going to win that fourth-line battle? And it looks right now like Chartier is ahead of Gambrell for the spot. We'll wait and see how that shakes out. Are guys going to continue their upward trajectory like Timo Meier? And boy, it sure looks like he is. Mm-hmm. Is Kevin LeBanc going to take it to another level this year and improve on what was a better season last year? And that still remains to be seen. It hasn't quite shown itself maybe as much as it has in a Timo Meier. And so on. How's Braun going to adjust playing with Dylan? So those are more the things that I've been looking for in the preseason rather than team play and you know, do the Sharks win the game or lose the game? I think the process right now is more important than the result. Of course, all of that changes once the season starts.
Right. What have you liked from guys like Suomela and Chartier? Because they seem that they've been pretty smooth going in these preseason games. And I like the combination with Suomela with Jonas Donskoy. I think the combination of those two have been really dynamite so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of naturally want to gravitate to feeling like they have chemistry because they're both from Finland. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. That doesn't necessarily guarantee they can play together, but they seem to be able to play well together. Suomela appears to be able to keep up and play a two-way game, which he'll have to as a third-line center. And he's also got a lot of hockey sense in the way he plays, and we know Donskoy does. So that bodes well for those two staying on that third line. But you just don't know once the season starts and situations change game to game and matchups. I mean, even within the game last night against Calgary, Pete DeBoer, after a while, didn't like the way the top line looked, and he took Kane off the left wing and put Timo Meier there. So, yeah, and that's in a preseason game. So, you know, nothing's married, but I've liked Suomela. He looks like the real deal. And Chartier has battled. He's been, to me, the more experienced-looking player. He's just had such a tremendously tough time with injuries so far in his pro career. But I think it shows played hockey in the American Hockey League at a level that maybe Gambrell certainly hasn't had the opportunity to yet. Whether that means Gambrell ends up going to the Barracuda, I don't know. I don't know what Doug Wilson is going to do as far as the roster. Is he going to keep two extra forwards and a D? Is he going to keep two extra D and a forward? And right now it looks more like 2D with probably Heed and Simek making the team and Gambrell being that extra forward in the press box. But we just don't know until Doug Wilson submits his final roster before Wednesday.
Yeah, you have a lot of guys that are locked up, but you also have a great competition on the bottom six, which I love.
The second six.
I'm sorry. I should apologize for that.
No, that's Brett Hedekin's thing. And I agree because calling teammates bottom pair or bottom six, it demeans them, I think. And Hedekin, that's his pet peeve. So I'm all in with Hedy. So we go second six, not bottom six.
I agree with that. That makes a lot more sense. It's been, you know, we talk about the first six. Trying to get the lingo right now.
You can still call them top six. You okay. Can't call the other guys the bottom six.
Good to know. All right.
You can call them whatever you want, actually.
Right. So with Thornton, you know, we this is his second game he played. I think he's looked pretty good. I think it's still working out the kinks from recovering from everything. And then I wonder about Pavelski. You know, he had some issues early on, but he seemed to come on strong late in the season last year. And for that concern, you know, there's still that lingering thing going on with Pavelski, not on an extension just yet. Do you think something's going on with Wilson, or does he have to eventually figure out cap room that includes potentially Erik Karlsson at this point?
I don't really know about contracts for our captain and things like that. That I'm sure that it's all going to work out with Joe Pavelski, and I'm not worried about Joe Pavelski at all as far as his abilities. Obviously, his stats the last few years have been in a little bit of a downward trajectory from, you know, his best season 3-4 years ago, but he's still, you know, he's the leader of the team. He's the heartbeat of the dressing room, and you know, I don't worry about him at all. As far as Joe Thornton goes, Joe's knocking the rust off. I mean, when you think about it, last year, coming off the first knee surgery after the injury the prior year, he didn't really hit stride till about December. It seemed like December was when Joe Thornton looked like Joe Thornton. So it took him all of October and all of November to knock the rust off. Well, then he has another surgery in January. Now he's had a longer rehab, but there's still rust. He hasn't played that much NHL hockey because of the injury in the last two seasons. So, and he's 39. So I think Jumbo is still knocking the rust off, and he doesn't look himself yet to me. He certainly doesn't. And I think he would probably be honest with you to feel like if he were to say he wasn't 100% playing at the top of his game. But I expect that knocking the rust off process to be shorter than it was before. So, you know, maybe it takes October for Jumbo to get himself right. And in November, we start seeing him as the Joe Thornton that we're much more used to. But I think that's going to happen. I think what you're seeing right now is a guy who just hasn't played a lot of hockey, and he's coming off back-to-back knee surgeries, and it's going to take a little bit more time for him to be at the top of his game.
Yeah, I think Jumbo's going to be, like you said, the rust will come off pretty quick. And I thought his game, when he did get going last season, was pretty impressive. Considering he had gone through the knee issue beforehand. So as we approach opening night, you're going to have not one but two color analysts that you'll be working with this season, and Jamie Baker and Brett Hedekin. You had worked with both of them last season, so I got to ask, what's it like having two analysts with you, and does it kind of alter things when you go back from different partners?
Well, I think initially it did. You know, what we do requires reps. You have to do reps together to get chemistry, to be comfortable working on the air with one another, especially, and this is what was so tough for Brett Hedekin, and I'm not making excuses for him because he did a tremendous job, but not only did he have to unexpectedly step in when Jamie took a leave of absence, but we were, for the most part, separated by him being inside the glass and me being up in the booth. And that's an even tougher way to develop chemistry from the get-go. So it was a real challenge for Brett, but he, you know, he's such a pro as he was when he played. And sometimes he's even a little too tough on himself in critiquing himself and breaking himself down. But it very quickly, he figured it out. And of course, Jamie already has it figured out. So I think now we've got two seasoned, experienced analysts, and once we get into the rhythm of switching on and off, and our first telecast won't be opening night. That'll be an NBCSN game with the national crew, but our first telecast will be in Los Angeles, game two, the first road game. All three of us will be on that show just to kind of introduce the new situation to the viewers, and that'll be great. It'll be fun. And after that, we'll do that periodically, but not very often. Most often you'll have either Brett or Jamie with me, but I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. And you know, the reality is there's people out there who love hearing me and Jamie, and there's other people who prefer hearing me and Brett, and now everybody's happy.
Yeah, no. And the chemistry that all the broadcasters have, you, Brett, Jamie, Dan, even with Brody, I think it's just such a cohesiveness that's going on there. That's such a great presentation to Sharks fans.
Well, I appreciate that. And of course, last year we heard a lot of Dave Maley on radio. Dave has moved on and moved back to Minnesota. And now on the occasions when both Jamie and Brett are with me, we'll have Devin Setoguchi working with Dan Rusinowski on radio. So that even brings another more interesting element, a very popular member of the Sharks alumni who's made his home here in the Bay Area. And Seto's excited to be involved. So you may also see him on the pre and post on television with Brody and Curtis Brown. So, you know, the group is growing in a good direction, and I think fans are getting a high quality product from our analysts. They bring so much experience, whether it comes from Stanley Cup champion experience from a Brett Hedekin or historical perspective of Jamie Baker from those great teams in the 90s, which he, of course, was such a big part of. And then you have a more contemporary point of view from a more recent part of the Sharks era from Setoguchi. So you're getting it from all corners and all sides, and I think fans are going to be really happy with the type of analysis they hear from our color commentators this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great addition. I like Setoguchi coming in. He did great with Ruzzi the other night. So during the offseason, SAP Center added new LED lighting over the ice. It's going to bring a great element on camera to the broadcasts on NBC Sports California. I would assume it also helps you and your analysts call the game a little bit better as well.
Absolutely. Before the change, the type of lighting we had, the type of bulbs, did not instantly come on. So really, since the inception of San Jose Arena at the time, now SAP Center, we have cataloged, of course, all the video from all the games over the years, and any highlights of significance that we've saved over the years of things that occurred in the first 5 or 6 minutes of periods have kind of a green or yellow tinge to them.
Right.
Because it took that long for those bulbs to come up to full candle power, and that affects the video quality. And I think even viewers at home would notice that there was sometimes a yellow, almost green tint to the look on TV early in periods until it got bright enough. And it's these new LED bulbs, in addition to the additional candle power they produce, they're instant on, instant off. And I know there were some people who had some concerns in the first home game with those lights that it was too bright. And I think they were right. And they've since adjusted that. They were different last night. They toned them down just a little bit. And there's also a tremendous number of things they can do as far as visual effects with those lights. And, of course, we all are familiar with the LED wristbands that the Sharks have used during the playoffs to create just an amazing look in the building and do special effects with that. And with this new lighting system, they're capable of doing that with the lights. So you're going to see on opening night a lot of fun stuff that they're able to do with it. But more to your point, it's a much better, cleaner, brighter look on television, and it certainly does make for a better call for us. It's just easier to see. Things are more defined, and unfortunately, as broadcasters, and our arena is included, they stick us pretty high up in the rafters and pretty far away from that little puck. And as some of us announcers age, of course, not me, I
not
don't
you, of
age,
course, no.
But all the other ones around the league who are getting older every year, every little bit of light helps those older guys.
Yeah, and I think it looks really dynamite on in person, and I can't wait to see it on ice when you guys are calling games. And speaking of calling games, do you look forward to calling games when both Melker and Erik Karlsson are on the ice?
Yeah, I haven't quite sorted that out, but I just think for purposes of newness, it'll probably be the full Erik Karlsson whenever he has the puck, and it'll just be Karlsson or the Melkman when 68 has the puck. So I was thinking maybe I go Karlsson with Erik Karlsson, and then I go EK68 with Melker, but that was shot down.
No. I remember when you guys, when we had, what, Suter, Sutter, Coach Sutter, Stern.
Suter, Sutter, Sutton, Sturm, and Stern.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
But the real challenge is going to be when we play Vegas, because they have Wild Bill Karlsson. And then when we play Washington, which only happens twice, with John Karlsson, then there'll be three on the ice. And
oh,
then
goodness. Oh, goodness. Speaking of names, what name has given you the most trouble over the years?
Oh, I don't know. You eventually get used to all of them. When Nikolai Habibulin first came in, there was a lot of different pronunciations of his name. I remember Pat Foley, the Chicago Blackhawks announcer, the first time he ever did a Winnipeg Blackhawks game, he refused to call him by his name because he couldn't pronounce it, so he just called him the Jets netminder. But, you know, there's tricky, challenging ones. There's a Koka Niemi in Montreal this year. And I don't think I pronounced that right. So that'll probably be the first big challenge this year. But again, we only play them twice, so we'll figure it out.
Nice, nice. and his backup goaltender is Antti Niemi. So
right.
Just throws
just to make
right
it
in.
A little more fun.
Exactly. So like many of us here at Teal Town USA, we've been around the organization since the beginning. And this is the 25th anniversary of SAP Center. What is your favorite moment, or for that matter, your favorite call inside the Shark Tank? And I'm guessing it's probably not that earthquake during the Colorado series.
No, probably favorite call now that I look back on it. Sometimes I'm a little embarrassed about it because it's a call from a game in October. But Marco Sturm scored a huge goal in a hellacious come-from-behind victory, I believe, over Boston. Yep. At SAP Center, and I had a call that was, this is unbelievable. I was able to stretch the word unbelievable into 8 syllables. So that's sort of one of the signature calls from in our building that I remember. And as far as moments, I've got to say probably my favorite moment ever, well, probably two. Number one was for a long time. The Sharks return from the road when they knocked out Detroit in the first round on the Jamie Baker goal, and then went to Toronto and got a split in the first two games. And the Shark Tank faithful hadn't seen the team since game five, because in those days it was a 2-3-2 format.
Right.
So they hadn't seen the team since game five of the Detroit series. And then they ended up winning that series. And then they got the split in Toronto and came home 1-1 in that series. And the electricity in the arena when the players came through the Shark Head, and everybody was already on their feet, all with towels, all in white, I think, back then.
Yep.
And the place was like I could never have imagined it to be that early in the history of the franchise. So that spine-tingling moment number one, and then spine-tingling moment number 1A, or I could put this one in front of that, would be game six against St. Louis when the handshake was on the ice, and I think most of us in the arena or at home watching had tears in our eyes because the Sharks were going to the Stanley Cup.
Both of those, Randy, are just bring back so good memories, you know, that just breathtaking. And I remember that game against Boston. That was a crazy game. That was for sure. So as we wrap this up here, in being with the Sharks since day one, would you say this team going into the regular season on paper is the best Sharks squad ever?
You could make that argument because you have two Norris Trophy winners. You have certainly two future Hall of Famers, Joe Thornton guaranteed, and Eric Karlsson pretty much guaranteed. I don't think there's any two-time Norris Trophy winner who isn't in the Hall of Fame, and I don't think they'll make an exception for him. I mean, since he's come into the NHL, he's the leading scorer among defensemen. So while he hasn't won a championship yet, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. And then you look at our depth. It might not appear to be as solid at center ice because of what we've talked about with two guys projected to start at center on the third and fourth lines who've never played an NHL game. But the other depth that we have on the wings and our second line center, or you could argue first line center, depending on what you think the Sharks' first line is, Logan Couture has developed into, I think it's fair to say, the Sharks' top offensive player. So you've got tremendous amount of depth at the forward position, arguably the best defense in the NHL. Nashville might argue with you, and they have a really good one. You might have the best defensive pair in the league in Vlasic and Eric Karlsson, and you've got a goaltender who's really good, who has a chance to become great. And this will be a fun year to see what Martin Jones brings, because I think he really has that opportunity with this team in front of him to go from being considered one of the really good goalies in the NHL to that upper tier. And this is a tremendous opportunity for him and everybody on the team. I haven't been this excited going into a season that I can remember. So to answer your question, I would say this is on paper the best lineup that a Sharks coach has ever been able to put on the ice. This is a dream for Pete DeBoer. It won't go without its bumps along the way and, you know, forks in the road, and you have to have injury luck and things have to fall your way. But this could be a really special, special year. And when you have that, you know, expectation, it makes for an exciting start to the season, the likes of which we probably never have had before.
I can't agree with you more. I hope you're able to say this year is unbelievable. So Randy, as always, thank you so much. People can find you on the Twitter machine and on Instagram at Shark Voice. Randy Hahn, as always, a pleasure to speak with you this season.
Great to be on with you, Eric. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to another cast from Tealtown USA. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Tealtown USA. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and find us on the web at tealtownusa.com.